Be turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. It's great to see everyone this morning. I want to especially want to welcome our brothers and sisters from the Atlanta Metropolitan Christian Church. Many of them are visiting with us this morning. Welcome. I know the parents are very excited about the kids going back to school tomorrow. You kids also need to get excited about going back to school. Because they're going to teach you something. You're going to learn one or two things. Guys, trust me on this one. It's all about attitude. That's half the battle. If you go in there with the attitude of, you know what? I'm going to knock it out of the ballpark this school year. I'm going for straight A's. I'm going for A's and B's. That's what you're going to get. Hold on. Hey, parents, hang on. I'm not done yet. Let me land. But if you go in there like, oh man, I can't believe it's school, you're going to do lousy. Half of it is your attitude. Amen? And like an old friend used to say to me many years ago, your brain is the most important muscle in your body. Amen? So you need to use it. Next week, as a matter of fact, what I'd like to do is all the campus guys, where all the campus guys are? Let me try that again. All the campus guys, all the campus students. Yeah, I know you guys don't open for a few more weeks. And all the teens. We're going to be next door, 10 o'clock, next Sunday morning, as the Old Testament survey class is going in here. And we're going to talk about academic excellence. Amen? And so I'm looking forward to that. So let's get here early. Don't be late, because I'm going to start exactly at 10 o'clock. Okay, I got 40 minutes to share some wisdom with you as you begin this school year. Amen? And I'm going to be asking how those grades are going. You know, I'll never forget many, many years ago, after I moved up to the church in Boston, and Tom Brown was preaching in the Boston Garden. And a lot of parents were giving our students, the students at the time in the different colleges, a hard time about their Christianity. And Tom asked the campus leader to get him the GPA of all the students. We have students at Harvard, MIT, Boston University, Boston College, Simmons, I mean, name it, Northeastern. We had Christians there. And Tom Brown got up. He didn't mention their names. And he just went through the different GPAs that he had. And it was amazing. 4.0, 3.9, 4.0, 3.8, 4.0, 4.0, 4.0, 3.9, 3.9. And it just went on. I'm telling you, the entire Boston church erupted. Because your example is very important as Christians. People are watching you. You claim to be a child of God. And they're asking themselves, what is this God doing for you? And a lot of times, we don't realize that we give God a bad name because we're not in there really taking our schoolwork very seriously. Amen? That's a little introduction to next week. Amen? So I'm going to back up and start talking about what I talked about. I started talking about last week. We're talking about God's love for us. But before I do that, this is going to be Dr. Mia's last service with us. She's going to be moving to Los Angeles. Where's Dr. Mia? We're going to miss you. You're going to do great. You're moving to a great congregation. But be praying for us as we'll be praying for you. Last week, I started talking about how much God loves us. I started looking at 1 John chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. Where it talks about how great the love the Father has lavished on us. That you and I should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I submit to you, like I did last week, that I think a major problem we have as Christians is that we don't really understand how much God loves us. That if you and I will get that right, if you and I will really camp home on that and really understand what that means, it will change your life. It will change the way you live. It will change the way you talk. It will change the way you walk. It will change the way you carry yourself. Are you with me? Because you are sons and daughters of the God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the God who calls things that are not as though they were. That's your daddy. That's my daddy. I'm a prince. You're a prince. You're a princess. Are you with me? But see, we need to really understand how much God loves us. We talked about how that word lavished in the Greek is talking about how God has furnished us richly so that we have an abundance. God has not been stingy with his love on us. You know how it is when, I don't know if you do this, a lot of times, you know, kids, maybe they're having chocolate and you tell them to give you some. And usually they will break it and give it to you. They'll break some of the bar off and then give it to you. So, you can't do that. You give me the bar. Let me break off what I want. Besides, I paid for that chocolate bar. But see, kids love chocolate, and so when you ask for some, you know, like, I'm going to give you a little cube. It's like, no. I don't just want one row, I want two. They can be very stingy with their chocolate or with ice cream. But see, God is not stingy with his love on us. Day in and day out, he lavishes his love on us. I mean, think about it. God proclaims his love for us through the universe. This universe that you and I are living in right now. It's funny, the other day I was reading how scientists, you know, they're saying, oh, they think they may have found water on Mars. Because as far as we know, this is the only planet right now that can sustain life. That is not accident. Even the axis, the tilt of the earth at 23.5 degrees is not accident. It is at the exact point where there's optimal temperature to sustain life. It's not an accident. Are you with me? If we're any closer to the sun, we'll all be fries. Cooked real good. If we're a little farther, we'll all freeze to death. And God placed us in the right place. And I think too many times what happens is over the years, as we go on in this life, Satan convinces us that God doesn't really care about us, that God doesn't really love us because of the challenges we face, because of debt we have in our families, and because of problems we may undergo. God's love is everlasting, amen? Amen. We sang about it. His love endures forever. It's Psalm 136. That how you and I need to give thanks to the God of gods. You and I need to raise up the King of Kings all the time, every single day. Are you with me? Do you really understand how much God loves you? You see, again, we don't understand God's love because a lot of times, some of us, the way we grew up, we had moms or dads that, in our minds, didn't really love us. I've even heard Christians make the excuse, well, I don't know how to love somebody. Well, you need to learn. By taking a look at Jesus. That's who you're meant to be following. The fact that you didn't experience that growing up is not an excuse. I can't say, well, you know, my mother never told me she loved me when I was growing up. That's the reason why I'm not going to express my love to my wife and my kids. You're going to look at me and say, Richard, you need to repent. Amen? God is very expressive with his love. Are you expressive with yours? You say, I don't know how to do it. Well, There are people that know how to express their love. One thing you can do is start imitating other people. Amen? Take a look at Jesus. Look at his interaction with people. That is who you and I are following. Amen? He says, come follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. People need to see our love. If anything, God says, by this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen? It's a command in the scriptures. I love my wife. She's a wonderful person. And she loves me too. But guess what? I'm not perfect. You don't even have to call her up to ask her that. She will tell you. I got a lot of rough edges. Okay? You got some rough edges too. We all do. And the fact that even though our spouses or our parents were not perfect, God is. And so many times subconsciously, we're comparing God to what we've experienced, either from our spouses or from our parents growing up. And there's nothing you can compare God to. The Bible tells us that. Amen? God says, who would you compare me to? There's no one. He's very unique. But do you really understand how much God loves you? You know, God is amazing. I mean, last Sunday I was talking about how our brother Jerome was meant to be having surgery on Friday, and, you know, they got him into the room, applied anesthesia, put him to sleep. They're getting ready to do the incision, and they're trying to place his neck in the right place, and he's getting paralyzed. The doctor tried several times and stopped, saying, you know what, I can't do this. And so on Tuesday, they went back to the doctor, and it's amazing how God works. I'm actually thinking, okay, I know they've gone to the doctor. I need to call him up and find out what the doctor said. So I called his brother up that I haven't spoken to in a few months just to encourage him. I said, bro, how you doing? He said, I'm so glad my wife is home. She had surgery, and she's just back home. She was in Tampa, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he's explaining this whole new laser surgery that they're doing these days on the spine and on the vertebrae, where, you know, it's very, very, it's not very intrusive. It's less than an inch in incision, and they go in there and they target the area and they do the stuff. I said, bro, do you mind? Can I have Jerome call you? I don't think that was an accident. And so obviously, he and Jerome hooked up immediately. Jerome called him up, and they've sent Jerome's MRI to the institute down in Tampa, and it looks like they're going to be able to do the surgery. I share that because God is at work even when you don't realize it. I don't think it was by chance that I happened to be calling this guy, and he's telling me, you know, I'm so fired up to have my wife back. I didn't know she had surgery. I had no idea. And I bring that up to say, you know what? There are many things that God does in your life and in my life that we don't even see the result of it until later. That's how much he loves us. Romans chapter 5. You should be there by now, because I told you that several minutes ago. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I mean, this is an incredible passage. He says, while you and I were still God's enemies, he died for us. I don't know about you. I'm not dying for my enemies. The Bible says, I need to love my enemies, and I need to pray for those who give me a hard time. And I can tell you, I'm working on it. But I'm not dying for my enemies. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet.
But you see, while you and I were still God's enemies, Jesus died for us. We were opposed to him. We were not following him. We didn't love him. We thought we did. Because we're sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? He says, while we're still his enemies, he died for us. It's an incredible thing. Like, see, God gave us this book not to make our life hard, but to benefit us. I mean, we started talking again about Genesis this morning. Gary started talking about that. Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, think about it. From the description, that place was beautiful. God says, you know what? Just take care of it. Only one command. But you see this tree over here? Don't eat of its fruit. That's it. Some people ask, why did God chase Adam and Eve out of the garden? I know the reason. He said, how do you know? I know. Okay? It's my opinion, but I know. Remember, there were two trees in the garden. I mean, there were a lot of trees, but you know what I'm talking about. There were two trees that were featured. One was the tree of life, and one was the tree of good and evil. If you ate from the tree of life, you kept on living forever. Are you with me? If you ate from the tree of good and evil, you know what happened. We're still suffering the consequences today. And so after they did that and broke God's law, what did the Bible say? He sent them out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because, remember, at this point, sin has entered the world. Man is now fallen. If they continue to stay in the garden, they will continue to eat. Let's assume this is the tree of life. They just continue to eat of this stuff. And this evil will perpetuate itself for eternity. And God said, no. I got to get him out of here. And I'm going to create a new Eden, in a sense. That's what you and I are about to inherit later. That tree of life that we lost in Genesis, you're going to see it back in Revelation. We're going to see it at the last day. Are you with me? That's how I figure things out. Okay? He said, I don't buy that. Well, that's you. Okay? You come up with your own theory. Because if I was Adam and I stayed in the garden, I would just continue to eat of the tree of life. And I would live forever. And so he had to get rid of them. That's one of the things I think he did to get rid of them. Okay? We'll find out more when we get to the other side. I'm glad I'm not God, but he did it. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, another passage I love. It says in verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We'll stop there for now. Did you catch that? It tells us two things. It says, you and I were blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It doesn't say with some. Every spiritual blessing. Why? Because we're God's children. This whole passage is talking about how he adopted us in. Are you with me? And then it says, he chose us before the creation of the world. Do you realize before God says, let there be light, he was thinking about you. He had me on his mind. Sinful, wretched me. Before the creation, that's what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up. It's very similar to what he did with Jesus. Look in John 17. Listen to what Jesus says here in John 17, towards the end of his life, talking to his apostles. In John 17, verse 24, what did Jesus say? He says, Father, I want those you have given to me. That's us, disciples. I want those you have given to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Very similar to what Jesus experienced. Are you with me? God was thinking about you and I in the same terms, in the same way. Now, we are unknown to this world. They don't know who you are, and they don't really care, but that's okay.
They don't know who I am, and they don't really care, and that's okay too. But one of these days, this world is going to find out who we are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This world will know the children of God. Because you and I are going to share in that glory. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our glory, appears, we will share in his glory. Are you with me? So yeah, right now, yeah, you may not see your name on the front of magazines. You're not going to make the news. You're not going to be on Entertainment Tonight or Extra or whatever else they have on TV. Okay? Thank God you're not on that stuff. I mean, you see that stuff, man. People's lives are messed up. I don't know how people can live under such a microscope. I'm glad I'm not famous. I can't imagine paparazzi following me everywhere. I mean, people watching you every step, your every move. You come out of a restaurant and they're there flashing, taking pictures. It's like, please, leave me alone. Go find someone else to do. Oh, I wish I was Brad Pitt. No, you don't. Oh, I wish I was this. I wish this. No, you don't. This world will chew you up and spit you out. It's amazing. We build people up just to tear them down. That's what the media is all about. It hasn't changed. But one of these days, this world will find out who the children of God are. Are you with me? In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, you can write this down. It simply says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Not temporary, everlasting love. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19, Paul prays that you and I will be able to grasp how wide, how high, and how long it is the love of Christ. And that we will know this love that surpasses knowledge. That's what we ought to be praying every day. Father, help me to understand how much you love me. Because the love of God is deep. You know, in Romans 8, 28, we all know the passage because we memorized it. By the way, I haven't forgotten. We're going to take the test. I'm going to give you two months' notice. Okay, and I'm giving you, this is your first notice. All right? 2 months from this coming Thursday, we're going to do our final test. All right? All those scriptures we gave out over the summer, I'm giving you 2 months to memorize all of them. Amen? And in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. Not in some things, in all things. Amen? That's exciting. That's God's love for us. You know, it's amazing to me that when children know they're loved, there's a security there. When children know that their parents love them and their parents are doing well and getting along, there's a security that nothing else can feel. That's just the way it is. See, as children of God, you need to feel that security. That you're a child of God. I love kids. I really do. But I remember, you know, at some age, these little creatures, they figure out that they can talk. Okay, maybe yours are at that stage right now. At some point, they figure out that, you know what? I can talk. And I make sense. And I can ask questions. And you as their parents, you answer them. And it's like, they feel like you know everything. And so they start asking questions. They start asking questions. Now, if you want to be honest, if you are like me, it's great, they're asking questions, they're inquisitive, they're awesome. But after a while, you get tired. Because you are not God. And so, you know, hey, Dad, how about this? They say, you know what? Can we pick this up tomorrow? That is kind of tired. That is kind of worn out. You know? And usually at that point, they'll go find your wife. And continue. But you see, even us parents, as much as we love our kids, and as long as we love to hear them talk and ask questions, we get tired. Think about this though. God loves us so much, he's never tired of listening to you and me. That is amazing to me. That I can go to him anytime, any day, any place, ask for stuff, and talk to him, and he said, yeah, step into my office. Always.
That's another reason I can't stand people who don't answer their telephones. Because I'm like, you know what? I talk to God every day, every time, and he answers his telephone every time. I mean, you are not God. Come on, pick up the telephone. Okay? That's a different day, different sermon. You got a telephone? Pick up the phone. Why do you have a telephone if you're not going to answer it? Take that thing, throw it in the swimming pool if you're not going to answer it. Oh, the voicemail will answer it. Oh, really? The voicemail is not your secretary? When you call on God, he doesn't put you on hold. He doesn't tell you, talk to one of the angels. No! He stops and he talks to you. He listens to you. Amen? That's just the way I view some of this stuff. Okay? That's why I think people need to pick up their telephones. It's amazing to me. I mean, how far have we gone? How far have we come? Many years ago, you remember when the phone would ring in your house? And the whole house said, I'll get it! Hello? Yes? Now, this is Jessica. You want to speak to my mommy? So, how you doing? I mean, give me that. Hello? What happened to those days? We're laughing. What if God were to treat us that way? The things you and I take for granted. Amen? But the point I'm making is, we parents, we want our kids to be happy. We want them to be fulfilled. God wants the same thing for us. That's why it's important that, you know, we take care of our marriages. We really love each other, like God says, if we're married. That when your kids hear you raise voices in your room, they get very insecure. Because believe me, they got friends in school where their parents are getting divorced and their parents are separated. And when they see that kind of behavior in your house and you're meant to be a Christian, it gets them very, very nervous. They may not come out and tell you. Amen? Does that mean we don't need to resolve things with each other? We need to do it. But you don't do it in the presence of your kids. I'm not going to resolve anything between Sarah and myself in front of my kids. I'm not going to do it. There are times stuff happens. Even between, before you leave the house at church on Sunday and you get over here. And we'll get to church and we'll tell the kids, please go on in. And we're going to talk it through right there. Are you with me? Why? Because we're Christians. You see, there's an African proverb that says, when two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. When mom and dad are going at it, guess who suffers? It's the kids. You may think, yeah, I'm the elephant, the big elephant. You know, let's go at it. Your kids are hurting, and you don't even see it. But I say that to say, you know what? God loves us because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. We're going to close out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, I love this passage. I know I say that about all the passages. But this one is sweet. And that's why we've got to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading verse 42. It says, So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit, talking about Jesus. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are from heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is incredible. Now, you know, one day, this body of clay, this body made out of sand, is going to be destroyed. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You can try all kinds of procedures. You can exercise all you want. You and I are going to shed this body one day. Amen? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't know when the Lord's going to take me. It's just between me and the Lord. I keep telling the Lord, I don't want to get to a point where I can't take care of myself. Where people are helping me eat and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be on this earth at that point. I really don't. I mean, my heart goes out to the elderly. It's a tough place to be. I don't know about you. You know, some people have a desire to be 90. God bless you. I don't. I don't think this body is going to be functioning at 90 like I want it to. And so I'd rather go to the other side. Okay, that's just the way I figure stuff out. Okay, you want to be on this earth till you're 150? God bless you. Okay, that's not me. But you see, one day we're all going to shed this. This is perishable. One day we're going to have a spiritual body. That it's going to be imperishable. It's going to be eternal. Amen? We're going to be clothed with immortality, like it says. We're going to live forever. I'm serious, man. Every single day, my eyes open up. It's like, wow, I'm still here. Because one day I know I'm not going to be here. I think about that stuff every day. You can't take life for granted. One day you're going to be gone. One day I will be gone. But we have an incredible inheritance to look forward to. Amen? Amen? I'm going to the doctor this week to get my checkup for the year. And I know he's going to tell me several things. I know it. Why? Because I'm getting older. Okay? I'm praying everything is, you know, the way they're meant to be. But it's okay. I'm glad that one day, I'm going to have... There's going to come a day when I don't need a doctor. Amen? You're not going to need a doctor on the other side. Like I said before, sorry, man. All you guys that are doctors, there's not going to be any job for you on the other side. Amen? There's not going to be a job for me on the other side either. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I preach good news. Guess what? Everybody's going to be on the other side. Everybody that needs to hear the good news will be there. So guess what? I'm going to be out of a job. That's okay. We are going to be out of a job. And we get to spend eternity with God. Amen? So we should not allow anything to move us. I mean, this week, the U.S. has been downgraded by the Standard and Poor's. We're now double A instead of triple A plus. Who cares? You think that's where my security comes from? From this economy? Or this country? It cannot. It shouldn't be. Why? Because you're a child of God. Oh, all the gains we made in the stock market, they've been wiped out in one day. It's okay. If it comes down, guess what? It's got to go back up at some point. It's not economics. It's not rocket science. But the question is, where do we put our security? You see, brothers and sisters, Satan's lies cannot nullify the love of God. Tragedy cannot destroy the word of God. Challenges you and I face will not change the grace of God. The state of the economy does not affect the promises of God. It cannot destroy the church of God. And it certainly cannot destroy the Son of God. God loves you, and don't you ever forget it.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the lesson today. Thank you so much for the sermon, just about your love. Thank you so much, God, that you love us. Thank you so much that you care for us in so many different ways. We don't deserve any of it. We thank you so much, God, for all the ways you take care of our needs. And God, so many wants you give us. It's incredible. I pray so much that we'll reflect on it this week, that we'll remember this week, whether things are going great or things are tough or we have challenges, that we remember God's love, that we know, Father, that you are going to work out everything for the good because you love us. Thank you so much, God, once again for this time. I pray that we will just remember this, and that this will carry us for the rest of our lives, that it will help us to draw closer to you, help us to love you in a way that's incredible. Thank you so much for Jesus and him dying on a cross, that we could have a life and that we could have a relationship with you. Thank you so much once again for it all. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are some Bibles that if you've lost one that you can look over there and see if your Bible is over there. And we're dismissed.